for us, it's a and for Carson, really, you know, just somebody that brings a little bit of that leadership into that room, you know, and makes that room better. You know, the experience thing is obviously a big factor in what we're doing, and he can lead by example. We got young guys, and this will give our young guys an ability to really watch a guy not only practice but play and create that competition that we talk about all the time.
All five starting offensive linemen are still on the team. Are you expecting that group to be your starting group next year?
You'd hope so. You know, you really do. Barring injury, I mean, a lot of things can happen, as we know from last year. You know, we saw five right tackles. You know, and so you know, it's exciting going into this year too that those guys are still intact. You know, Jason, a Pro Bowl left tackle, who we feel and I feel can still play at a high level. But it's exciting to have those guys back.
Is the left guard spot open for competition, or is Allen going to be the starter there?
Well, going into the season, you know, going into OTAs, you know, Isaac showed that, you know, he played on a moment's notice. He's a guy that we want to get into the mix. And Allen is a veteran player that obviously, again, has a wealth of experience and a lot of starts in the National Football League. So there's going to be some good competition there going into this season.
So that job isn't locked up for now? It's going to be a competition between those two guys?
Well, you got to throw in, if you're talking about just those two, you got to throw in Wiz, you got to throw in Chance Warmack, some of the guys that we've recently signed. So it just creates that competition that we're always looking for and, you know, trying to find the best five going into the season.
Do you expect Jason Kelce to be on the team in September?
Yes.
So what does that do for Stefan, who kind of signed a contract that would suggest that he's going to be giving an opportunity to start? And do you just see?
Well, again, it's another opportunity for him to compete and compete, you know, on our roster. He had six starts last year, and he filled a role that we needed last year, and you know, going into this season, again, it's the beauty of having guys like that, whether they're starters, backups, role players, whatever you want to call them. It just gives you depth at the position, and it gives you that competition going into training camp, going into the season that you want. It's a great thing to have veteran players as backups that, you know, or role players that compete and want to start.
In regards to Mixon, forget the off-field stuff, but what do you see in him just as a player?
As a player, I watched him a little bit this offseason, and, you know, talented player, very explosive, got good hands out of the backfield, you know, you put him in there with a lot of, you know, with a lot of these backs that are coming out, dynamic, you know, exciting back to watch.
Would you feel comfortable having him on your roster, considering, you know, the off-field issues?
You know, we're always trying to better our roster. I've said that a bunch. And with a player like that, you know, those are things that we do our homework on these players. You know, and you know, you want to make sure it's the right fit for any team, not only our team, but you know, he's an explosive player, he's dynamic, and I know, you know, someone will give him an opportunity.
How important is it to have character people on the football team, and how much do you think about their past?
I think you have to. I love having character people. I think that's sort of the wave of the future, a little bit. You're always, every team is similar this way. And here, the personality of the head coach, or the dynamic that the atmosphere that you sort of cultivate and provide. You know, you're always looking for whether it's through free agency or the draft, guys that fit that. I mean, I can remember back in Green Bay when I was a player there. I mean, those are some of the things I saw as a player that staff did. They want guys that fit the mold, you know, for your team, for your organization, and that's the bottom line. Is you want guys that'll be there for the organization. They put the organization before themselves.
How do
they
weigh talent against character? Obviously, you've already said you want to improve the football team, but how do you weigh talent against what could?
It's a fine line. It's a fine line, and it's tough. It's tough because, again, you're looking for guys that can fit into your system, and you're always looking to add talent to your roster, but at the same time, you got to make sure that you're doing your homework on these players, again, whether it's free agency or the draft, that they're the right fit for you.
When you Doug, say it's the wave of the future, Doug, what do you mean by that, with character?
Well, I just think that you know, you see so much in society today with all the social media, with all the issues that players or the nation has, and you're looking for guys that they have a passion, one, for the game, but they also have a passion for for just being good, upstanding, human beings you take guys that I love having dialogue with players. You guys know that I mix in there with the team quite a bit, on the field, off the field, and just having these conversations with guys that just getting to know them, and getting to know their background a little bit and where they come from. Everybody's dynamic. Everybody's unique that way. And having those guys on your team to cultivate that culture, that we talk about, can make you a strong team, and you see that with championship teams.
You've only had a year.
Why'd you release Jace Daniel? That was your guy, right?
Yeah, there's tough decisions to be made, and it goes with any player that comes and goes. They're just tough decisions, and he was one of them. But wish him the best, and hopefully he's picked up.
Did that turn out the way you thought it would when you guys signed him to that contract? Get a lot of money.
I don't have a crystal ball, but at the same time, when we did sign him, we didn't necessarily have Sam at the time, we didn't have Carson at the time. There was a lot of other variables involved. So at the time it was a good signing for us, and again, going forward, we do what's right and try to do what's best for the team.
So why Nick Foles, and why is Nick Foles best for the team in the backup role? Why is he the best, more importantly, for Carson Wentz?
Well, again, it's – I've been in that position as a player. I've been in that backup role. And with a guy like Carson going into his second year, you want somebody that's played in the National Football League, played some games, and has had some experience, and he's been with Alex Smith the last year, and another veteran player, and just brings a lot of the same things that I saw in myself when I was a backup, and we're just fortunate to have him back, and we're excited to get ready for this offseason with Nick and go forward.
Good morning,
Doug.
Can you talk a little bit about Carson Wentz and where he is right now and what's going on?
I don't know where he is right now.
No, I mean, in terms of, what you're expecting from him this upcoming season, that sort of thing, his mindset.
Well, I can tell you this. Carson will be ready to go April 17th. He'll be wanting to get on that field, in phase one.
What would be different for him than something
he I think for him coming in the second year, from a leadership standpoint, I think, as a quarterback, the face of the franchise, the organization, he embraces that. I think this will be a big in terms of just his the way he talks and handles the guys around him.
Yep.
You know, offensively, defensively. He's obviously capable of doing that. I think too, by him going through 16 games last year. There's a level of maturity. We're always looking to improve and to get better there.
In your final exit interview with him, you know, what were your instructions for him in the offseason?
It's like I tell every player, you know, get away, relax. You know, I don't want to see you. You don't need to see me. Get out of the building. Go on vacation. You know, heal up, rest. Do all those things that you need to do. And be fresh when you come back April 17th, you know, and take some time. Take some time for yourself.
You threw over 600 passes. You can tell him to stay away from the football at all.
Well, it's hard. For him, it's hard, because he wants to throw every day. But, yeah, you know, you just say, listen, don't take some time. Take some time away and, don't touch a ball. Just stay away and come back ready to go and... And we're excited for
April
17th.
Were there any issues with his right arm at the end of the season?
Nothing. There was nothing wrong with him. He was healthy. He played 16 games, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he was 100% feeling great, but at the same time, he's like every player. I mean, Jason Peters wasn't feeling great. I mean, it's a 16-game schedule, you know. But he was fine. He was great. He was good.
More prominent on the leadership as far as Carson. What does he have to do? When you're a first-year player, I guess it's a little more difficult. What does he have to do at his position, obviously now, to be a leader?
You know what? I don't think there's much that he has to do because he stepped in day one last year, and the guys looked at him and they said, okay, you're our guy. And he proved that by how he studied during the week, how he practiced during the week. So I don't think there's much more that, other than just, hey man, let's spend an extra 5 minutes throwing this route, those types of things, and just sort of leading by example.
But in this instance, though, it seems that he's in the spring and so forth, he's the designated starter, which he was not. When he
Correct.
Was first drafted by the team, going to training camp, so forth, he is the acknowledged leader of the team. So that is different for him, right?
That's a different thing. You know, now he is coming in as a starter, yes. Yeah.
Doug, what do you expect to see different in his throwing motion, his mechanics, after working with Adam Dato?
Probably not much, really. it'll be interesting when we get him in here finally to talk to him and just see how he felt about that. But... we just can't wait to get our hands on him, too, to begin and continue to work.
Did you talk to Adam?
I did not.
You guys didn't talk to him at all? So no. You have no idea what they did?
I have no idea.
And you still have no idea? Okay.
Yeah. You didn't instruct him to go to the...
That's the one thing, you know, we can't, as coaches, we can't, you know, we can maybe put a plan in place before they leave our building. But once they leave our building, they're gone.
What do you think of the quarterback throwing?
Did you plan to, you know, maybe he got a call?
You know, I again, what I encourage is for all of our players to develop their talent. And if they seek out help, then they seek out help.
You didn't specifically say you need help with your mechanics.
No, no.
Are you worried about that maybe undoing any of the teaching that you...
I'm not concerned with that at all. You know, I know Carson. I know his chemistry, his makeup, and you know, he's got a lot of confidence in Coach DeFilippo and Frank, so I'm not concerned.
Once you see him on April 17th, it'll be like a week before the draft. How much will you ask for his input on some of these college wide receivers that you might be considering drafting?
Well, I'm gonna go to Joe Douglas and Howie Roseman. It's I love his enthusiasm. You know, Carson's enthusiasm, and obviously he's just like us in trying to acquire talent. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're going to do what's best for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Are you concerned about some of the mechanical issues are tough to work on during the season? You know, you're sort of more focused on the next week and next opponents. What are some of the areas that he can focus on now that there's
that time? And what little tweaks do you think could be made?
Well, again, the hardest thing with our off season is just we don't have time with our, player. We just can't, spend time with our guys and develop our guys. That's just the nature of the off season, CBA, the whole thing. So, with that being said, you're hoping that he's taken what he learned, OTAs, training camp, in season. I know Coach DeFilippo, before Carson left our building after the Dallas game, that there was a plan in place, things for him to work on, and just, try to focus on those fundamental issues that, they're really off-season issues, off-season, drills, fundamentals that he can do and begin to work on, coming into OTAs.
Doug, Andy Reid was asked yesterday about what the biggest challenge that you would face in year two, and he said it was basically the guys at this table, and obviously by extension, the entire media corps. Is that something that you feel the same about, or do you feel like there's something else that could be a greater challenge for you?
No, I think that's accurate. I think having the first year, being around all you guys, again, it's about building relationships and trust and honesty and I want to be as transparent as I can, with you guys, but at the same time, I was hired to win football games, and so that's my main focus, we need to focus on that and always keep the team first and go forward from there.
So what do you see on the defense? I mean, with Vinny Curry this year, do you hear where he finally becomes that starter and steps up and plays the majority of the snaps?
Vinny, I love Vinny, and he's a tremendous leader, he's good for our football team, and we're excited to have him, obviously, with any player that we have, though, it's. We're talking about Carson having a big year this year and all the guys, but, Vinny's a guy that's going to come in and do everything that you ask him to do and compete. I think if you asked him, that's probably his focus, is to come in and be that guy, be the guy that sort of takes that next step. You want to see those increases. You want to see those steps being made that they're performing at a high level, and so from that standpoint, expect him to come in here ready to go in April.
How about defensive tackle? Is Bo Allen the guy there? Is
he start? Bo again had a lot of snaps last year. Played quite a bit, and obviously with free agency and Benny not being here, it gives him a great opportunity to step in there and really. Really show what he can do if he can be the guy and compete and handle that load. But got a lot of confidence in Bo and again, another one that look forward to this off season watching his progress. Well, how Jim operates. They rotate eight guys if they can, and they rotate that D line. So nothing's going to change there. But at the same time, you expect. The guys that are in there to compete and play at a high level and keep them fresh. But and Bo is going to be one of those guys that called upon to do that.
You've lost both the starting cornerbacks from last year. Do you feel like you have to come out of the draft with at least one early on that can play from week one and play a big role for you guys?
When it comes to when it comes to issues or questions like that, I want to do everything right now. I want boom. Let's answer everything right now. But we have to be patient. We have to stay true to our plan. We talk about the process and just kind of going through it. Got to be patient and. Everybody knows this is a healthy draft that way, secondary players and again we do our due diligence with every player. We're gonna evaluate. and hopefully, you know, hopefully we can answer some of the questions that we have, and you know, at the end of the day, the guys are the guys that we have, and you know, we get ready for the season.
Doug, Michael Kendricks has reportedly been on the trade block. Do you expect him to be at OT at the start of spring workouts on April 17th?
For sure, for sure. Michael's a big part of the team, and I expect him there.
Do you expect him to be on the roster in September?
I do.
Kind of along those same lines, Jason Peters was asked to take a pay cut this offseason. Trade speculation surrounding Jason Kelce, trade speculation surrounding Malcolm Jenkins. Those are three of your top leaders in the locker room. I wonder what you think needs to be done from your standpoint to ensure that they're of the right mindset and that the locker room is where it needs to be.
Yeah, you know, and obviously Howie's addressed a lot of those issues as far as, you know, those speculations. But, you know, from my standpoint as a coach, listen, those guys are a big part of our football team. They're leaders of this football team. You know, I got so much confidence in those guys, and the trust factor is there. And really just, you know, it's the one-on-one conversations that I can have with these players. And really any player on the roster that you know, they're a part of our team, man. I mean, it's exciting to see them. It's exciting to, you know, have them come into the building every day. They're leaders of this football team, and all of them, you know, the ones you mentioned, continue to play at a high level. I mean, Jason Peters, a Pro Bowl left tackle, you know, and you know, again, it's about that honesty and that transparency, and that's what I do with these guys and with these players, and making sure that you know, I have the utmost confidence in them. They have the utmost confidence and trust in me, and you know, they lead this football team.
What are the traits or skill sets that you prioritize from the running back position in your offense?
Well, I think that position has changed quite a bit over the years. You know, I think that you know, obviously every team, even ourselves, you look for guys that can, you know, are they a three down guy that can play first, second, and third down, you know, guys that are mobile in the sense of, you know, out of the backfield. You know, we do so much empty formation nowadays with a lot of guys, a lot of teams do a lot of empty, you know, route running ability. Obviously the skill set of running the football, I mean, that's what they do, you know, so that's obviously that's a sort of they got to be able to carry the ball, you know, and run. But there's so much versatility in backs nowadays, from again those empty formations, out of the backfield, spread out, you know, spreading the field. That those are the things that we want to see. Physical traits, you know, obviously guys that are that can, you know, can they run between the tackles? Are they physical enough to run between the tackles? Can they stretch the field outside zone? You know, and because again, every game plan, every run game plan, every week changes. It changes. You know, sometimes you're going to be more inside the tackle. Sometimes the next week you might be outside the tackle. So you got to have that versatility to do that. And those are things that we look for in these backs. You know, obviously the guys that we have can fit that role. And then there's pieces. I mean, you got the Darren Sproles that is a unique guy that can kind of do all of it, but at the same time, we focus a little more on the third down, the empties that you saw last year with him.
You know, what was like, Doug, a fullback? You didn't have a fullback last year. I know you used, you know, linemen, extra linemen, but would a fullback be the final, you know, piece that you make your offense as good as it could be?
You know, it's something that, obviously, my history, even as a player, in the West Coast system, we've always had that position. We've always had that player. You know, you've always been able to get in the I formation and run downhill. The game has changed so much now that you know, that position can be. You can use a tight end. You saw last year we used an offensive or a defensive tackle. Bo was in that position a little bit. You know. And so it's changed. The game has changed. And so if you're not, I think if you're not adjusting to, say, the times, you know, those positions can sometimes be filled by other role players. And that's something that that we'll look at, that I'll look at. Because everything is, you're seeing the game a lot more in the shotgun with quarterbacks, so the backs are offset. Pistol formations. And so, you know, I might be, you know, leaning towards using that position a little bit differently.
Doug, I know patience is something that fans don't have if we're here in Philadelphia. But how hard is it for you to have patience, knowing this is not an overnight, one-year thing?
It can be hard. You know, again, it goes back to acquiring talent. I mean, you want all the answers filled. You want all the holes filled. You want everything in your, you know, it's like college. You want 100 guys, you know, and have all the depth that you want. So, you know, patience is a virtue. And we have to trust our plan. We have to trust our process. We have to, you know, trust the coaches, trust Howie and Joe and the guys that make decisions that way to acquire talent and get guys on our roster to compete. And it's a fine line because as coaches, sometimes you get a little impatient and you want to do everything like right now. I do believe that, and this is just me, but, you know, again, the teams that stay patient, but yet keep. I mean, you look at last year. You know, we had 5 draft picks play last year, and if we continue to do that this year, next year, then you know you get those guys into your pipeline, and that's how you can build you know, a championship team.
And getting back to wide receiver, how does Jordan Matthews fit into this offense now? And is he exclusively a slot going forward?
Well. Yeah, Jordan. Obviously, he and Carson have a great relationship. You saw, I think, early in the season, throughout most of the season, his confidence level in finding him and throwing him the football. And again, he's a big part of what we do. And you know, he's a dynamic slot guy. He's a little bit bigger guy. He works well in there. He understands space. He understands route combinations and what we try to do and get done in there. And I think he's very comfortable in there. And you know, now with the addition of, you know, the 2 guys that we acquired, and then again, DGB has a year in the system, and Nelson has another year in the system. You know, it's a good combination, and we can really kind of, and listen, I don't get caught up in, is he primarily a slot or is he outside? That might be on paper where they're at, because we do so much with our offense by formation that the guys are going to be inside and outside.
The report came out that he could be traded or that you would listen to offers for him. Is that the case, and do you expect him with the Eagles going forward?
Now, as far as that goes, I haven't heard any of that, so I don't know. He's on our roster, and we're going forward.
Doug, you talked about Alshon Jeffery a little bit earlier. Did you view getting him as kind of a necessary piece for Carson to take with the next step in his career, getting a receiver of that caliber, or at least one that he can depend on a little bit more?
We, again, when you look at the big picture, and we're trying to acquire guys that help us win games, whether it's through free agency, the draft, current roster, I feel like any of our guys, you know, again, going into our second year, and I'm not speaking just with Alshon, but he's a big part of that now. But all of our guys will take that next step because they're in our system. They understand our offense. They understand how we're teaching. They understand how we practice. They understand the whole dynamic of what we're trying to do. That's a big part of this. And you know, Carson's comfort level is going to go up with all the guys, not just with one. You know, but with but having a guy like Alshon who has the experience, who has, you know, an opportunity to help us win games, I think it's still, you know, we'll find out this spring. We'll find out when we're in OTAs and going through the off-season training camp just how comfortable he is and we're, you know, the progression of all our guys, you know, at that position.
Doug, with an unprecedented draft, at least what people are saying in terms of depth at the tight end position, you guys still chose to tender Trey Burton a contract near $3 million. Why?
Why?
Yeah. Why tender Burton a contract?
Trey, he's a four-core special teams player. He's a great leader. He's a young, but he's a good leader of our football team. Brings energy every day. Love having him on the team. You saw what he did, you know, last year when Jordan was hurt at the end of the season. Trey became sort of a target for Carson. Big part of our team. And, you know, thing is you don't want to ever let good players go if you can't. I mean, that's the bottom line. It's like you just want to keep as many guys as you can. That's the core of your football team, and that's what we try to do.
In regard to special teams, just looking at your wide receivers now, you have Torrey, you have Alshon, you have George Matthews, and Nelson Aguilar doesn't go anywhere. So if DGB kind of sitting there and doesn't play special teams, does he have to sort of improve his game to some significant degree to be active and on the Jacksonville game and also keep his roster?
Well, I think that, you know, this will be a good offseason for DGB. It'll be a great offseason for him. You know, it's going to be an opportunity for him to come in and number one, you know, show what he's really capable. Now, we got him at the end of training camp last year, you know. I believe it was week three of training camp. And so he was learning our system, really, the whole year. So now having time to work with him and to really – develop his talent, you know, to get in there with Mike Groh and learn and you know, with all our players, but at that position and with him, it's going to be big for him, you know, and just to see where he's at. And, you know, it's kind of like the offensive line. You know, it's you acquire as much depth as you can because you never know when a guy goes down that you need somebody. And competition makes everybody better, and you know, I've said that from day one, and I believe that with everything that I have, and you know, and for him to come in here and show that will be big for him.
Do you expect a much bigger role for Wendell Smallwood, and do you think he's ready for it? Wendell Smallwood, do you expect a much bigger role for him, and do you think he's ready for it?
So. Wendell is you know, a guy that you know, again, we'll see where he's at when he comes back. We'll see. I do think Wendell is a guy that will definitely compete and you know, give us everything that he has. You know, he did some great things last year for us. Obviously, that's why we selected him, you know, last year. I mean, to give us health, to give us depth, to give us, you know, sort of that dynamic runner, and so yeah, there's a role. There's a, again, with all these young players, being able to take that next step into year two is big. You know, it's big to not only the whole of the team, but just them sort of solidifying their role with the team. You know, it's still early. We got a lot of time before we play a game, so there's a lot of practice time between now and then.
As a follow up to Jimmy's questions about receivers on special teams, Nelson sounded curious at the end of last year about being more active in the return game. Is that a role you can see him playing going forward?
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, Nelson is probably one of the hardest workers, you know, on the football team. Spends time before and after practice. He'll do anything for the football team, and that's the type of guys that you want. And if it means his role increases on special teams, then we'll find a role. You know, Dave Coach Phipp does a great job of fitting those guys into the system and into his plans every week, and feel like he can be a big help there.
Just along those lines with Nelson, you mentioned about players getting away. Was it most important maybe for him to do that after, you know, what he admitted last year, stuff getting into his head?
I think every case is different. Every player is different. I personally, feel like he's very capable of playing at a high level. I'm excited for him to work with Coach Groh and get in the room and really sort of, kind of drill down, on his ability and his talent. Again, he's a dynamic player. He's a big part of our football team. Our job as coaches is to make sure that we're developing that talent. And so when he gets in the building in April, that's what we're going to do. And we're going to make sure we're coaching all our players. And he's a big part of that.
Along those lines with Nelson, obviously he was in a starting role for most of his career so far. In bringing in Alshon Jeffery and Torrey Smith, did you expect him to be more productive as a backup now that some of the pressure is off of him?
It's hard to sit here today and really answer that because you never know what's going to happen. I mean, there's so many dynamics that go into that, but, just... Again, it kind of goes back to the competition thing and to see where how guys compete and see how guys work and interact with each other. And listen, at the end of the day, we're all here to win football games. And every player on your team, starter, backup, special teams, there's a role, there's a fit. And again... It's early in the off season. We haven't even started OTAs yet, but we'll see. We'll see. Through him working with Coach Groh and another year. Obviously he's got a leg up on the guys because he's been here, and he knows exactly what we're doing. So it'll be exciting to watch him progress this spring.
Doug, I'm sure you went through a self-evaluation process at the end of the season. I'm wondering what your takeaways were from that and what you would like to see kind of strengthen the year two.
You do that every off season. You go back and you just sort of evaluate your take and the things that I did. The biggest thing is how did I lead the football team? Standing in front of the room every day, talking to the guys, addressing the team. And at the end of the day, I think one of the strengths is the fact that the guys never quit. The guys played hard the entire season, all the way to the end. Are we satisfied with 7-9? Not at all. We're disappointed. We want to be better than that. And we will be better than that. And I look at myself, and I'm included in that, whether it's play calls, whether it's how I lead the football team on and off the football field, how I interact with Joe and Howie and the personnel department, and just making sure now going into year two that we, me personally, have answered some of those questions, again, when I stand in front of that team on April 17th, showing the confidence, in coming across in a way that these guys are, that they want to play, and they can believe in me as a leader of the football team, and we move forward that way.
Doug, Howie confirmed that they were in trade talks for Brandon Cooks, and then that fell through, and then you shifted attention to Alshon. What was your involvement during free agency and during that quest to get receivers?
We're constantly, as coaches and myself, we're evaluating. Excuse me. We're watching all the tape. We're watching all the film on all the players, and submitting our reports and doing whatever we can.
So they take basically your reports and then Howie and Joe and then they start to implement their plan. Or do they ever come back to you and say?
Well, we're constantly talking about everything. I mean, we're that's the collaboration process that we've talked about, you know, through the whole off season, and just, you know, again, making sure that we're helping our football team win games at the end of the day.
What was your evaluation of Alshon? What'd you write up when you watched the film?
What I write up was in our system. That's for our eyes only.
Can you give me a little bit of at least your?
I mean, you look at a guy like that. I mean, you look at size. You look at route running ability. You look at explosive to the ball, good hands. You know, catch radius is big. I mean, you look at a lot of things you see on tape, and it's like offensive linemen. You know, how well do they punch? How well do they set? How well do they come off the ball? Are they short steps? It's kind of the same process.
Okay. So, by all accounts, it seems like your defense might be a few more pieces behind, than your offense. Do you need the offense to control the ball? Will that be a big thing this year, to just to try to help the defense as much as you can that way?
Well, I think we controlled it pretty well last year with time of possession, yeah. You know. But it's games. You don't ever go into the game saying we need to control the ball this week, or we need to, score a lot of points this week. You can't do that. Every game is different. So with time of possession last year, best in the National Football League, but we were 7-9. So we got to figure out a way to score more points. It's obviously a team. It's a team issue. You can't just go look into each week and say, hey, this is the week we need to do that, because you can go into every week, competitive, wanting to win, score as many points as you can. And hopefully hopefully the outcome is in your favor.
In terms of how you structure the offseason, the offseason program, training camp, are you going to keep it as you did last year, or did you learn anything from the first year?
The biggest thing I learned was there's no drive time. We're off the field, we're right in our building. So, but as far as the structure, it's going to be very similar, very similar. I thought it was very competitive. It's something that, as you guys know, going into it, I wanted it to be physical. I wanted the live periods. I wanted an opportunity for the guys to compete, and felt like we came away with that. And so, want to keep the same format.
When you look at a guy like John Ross and the kind of speed that he has, what can a guy like that do for everybody else in the office?
Well, a guy like that, he's dynamic, got good speed, elusive, quick. Short area quickness is the things you see on film with him and on tape. And, he's a guy, I think, wherever he ends up, it could potentially be a difference maker, because of the speed and that elusive quickness, the ball in his hand. And that's the thing about it is, wherever he ends up, he's a guy that will be schemed every single week offensively, to figure out how to get him the ball, and that's the beauty of coaching is when you have talent like that and you have guys like that on your roster, and for us right now it's the same way with acquiring the talent that we did at our positions, receiver positions. Now the question is, how do we use them? And it's hard to sit here today and say I'll use them this way or that way, because It changes. The dynamic changes. But guys like that with the ball in their hands can be very explosive.
What's your take on Ross's injury history?
My take on it?
Yeah. Does it scare you?
Well, no. It's. I think too with the sports science that is evolving today, and what we do in our building. It's something that we monitor. We can help players, obviously. Jason Peters, played all 16 games last year and played at a high level. So there's ways of there's ways of keeping these guys healthy and keeping them on the football field.
Doug, did you make any requests to the league concerning three trips to the West Coast this season and two are in L.A.? Did you make any requests to the league about having those two L.A. games back-to-back so you could stay out there?
Looking at the schedule and looking at where we're going, one of the proposals was to try to stay out on the West Coast twice, or for two games. So we'll see. Next month when it comes out, if we're able to get that.
Doug, a couple things. First of all, what'd you see from Benny Logan? Glad you guys let him go. And also, why'd
you guys sign it?
Yeah, basically. What's the number one thing you took from him?
Yeah, Benny, great player. He's again just one of those guys that you appreciate everything he does. He's a pro's pro. He works hard every day, and he's a good player in this league, and he obviously deserves everything that he's been given. In regards to Andy, I think just being me, don't be Andy Reid. I learned that a long time ago as a player. I can't be Brett Favre. I'm not. So I don't want to be. I don't want to be Andy Reid. But at the same time, be me and be honest and open and be true to yourself.
You guys made an effort to retain Benny.
Of course, we always want to make sure that we, are keeping our guys. I mean that's. But at the same time. In this day and age of the game, free agency comes every year. And, you're going to acquire talent and you're going to lose talent. That's just the way it goes. And Benny was part of that process.
What kind of coach are the Broncos getting if Brock will leave right now? What special
thing? Oh, Brock. I tell you, first of all, being around Dave Tobe, who one of the top special teams who got a lot of respect from him, in the National Football League with special teams. And Brock is very, very similar to that. He's very detailed. He's very organized. He gets the most out of his players, and that's what they're getting.
The jump from year one to year two is big for any player. For Carson in particular, the way his offseason managed you compared to how it's like
Well, the biggest thing and the first thing is the fact that he's finally had an off season to kind of catch his breath. He rolled through one AA championship, Senior Bowl, combine, workouts, OTAs, right into training. So there was no downtime for him. So now for him, just to be able to sort of exhale, catch his breath, come into this off season, knowing that he's the starter, not having to guess if he's going to be the starter, is big for him. It's part of his maturity. It's part of the growth of that position, and we definitely want to see, we want to see incremental progress. I mean, it's not going to be an overnight change, obviously, but it's going to be a day that each day we're going to just make sure that we're getting him ready to go for day one, for opening day. I know he's excited to get back. All the guys are excited to get back and get going with this thing.
Did you tell him you wanted him to kind of get away from it?
Yeah, for sure. I tell all the players. I mean, it's what coaches told us to do when we were playing. Get away from, you get away from me, I'm going to get away from you. And go do whatever it is you do. And just relax. Spend time with your families. And I'll keep telling our guys that at the end of the season. Just refresh. Get ready to go. Energize. And at some point, they'll slowly start working out again and training again because they know what's coming down the pipeline.
What did he do to get away from
it? Did a lot of hunting. I know that. You look at all the social media shots of everything, and just not having to go through the whole combine and 30 visits and workouts and all that. Just spend time with his family.
As far as can that make, as far as having a year under your belt, knowing where to go this time around, and like I said, knowing that you're going to be the guy, so just focus on football instead of trying to figure things out on the fly.
I think it's huge, you know, especially in the quarterback's case. You know, I think that it's part of the whole. We're going to take those incremental steps, you know, into the success of the team, and then it just gives you that energy when he comes back. It just gives you that juice and that energy that we look for, and you know, the excitement that you want going into year two.
As far as quarterback depth, did you like it having two on the active roster and one on the practice squad, or would you like to get to a point where you have a third quarterback at play?
Well, again, it, you know, we're always going to look in the draft. We're always going to evaluate that position and try to, you know, of course, you have four or five guys in training camp, and you know, at the end of the day, normally you got three usually on your roster. One could be on practice squad. So, you know, we'll continue, obviously, to look at that. You know, two are always, you know, as you know, two are going to be active on game day. And then that third guy is, you know, either a young guy that you've acquired through the draft, or it could be another free agent player that you've brought in to, you know, give you a little more depth or whatever at that position.
So how much is your future tied to Carson's success?
That's a great question. Well, it's always the head coach and the quarterback, right?
Yeah.
At this level. So I think that answers it.
Hey, Doug.
I mean, yeah. The success of Carson, then we all have success.
That's your number one most important job, right?
You know?
Is that fair to say?
I wouldn't say it's...
As a quarterback?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a big part of it. But we also, you know, we also want to make sure that Isaac's developing, Big B is developing, you know, all our young players, Wendell's developing. I mean, you know, we want to make sure that all our guys are developing. But that position is an important position. I mean, as you know, I mean, around the national
football league. Jesse, yesterday, the most important thing is having a terrific quarterback. I mean, in terms of structure, he threw everything out the window. He said, quarterback. I mean, so
you know, there's a lot of truth to that. I mean look at the Super Bowl. I mean, two great quarterbacks, you know, and teams that go deep into the playoffs, man, there's quarterbacks at the that are leading these teams. So, you know, if it's tied into my success, then we're going to make sure that you know, we're doing everything and you know, making sure that we're doing things right and getting Carson ready to play.
In talking about what he expects to see this year, Jeffrey said he wants to see consistent improvement. For you, what does that look like? Is it Carson's statistic? Is it your win-loss record? How would you...
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's, you know, obviously you can look at stats and numbers, and red zone needs to improve, you know. Our points per game need to improve. You know, completion percentage needs to improve. You know, defensively, we're one of the top teams in the red zone. We gotta stay there. You know, we gotta get off the field on third down. I mean, there's all little things that are incremental. But at the end of the day, it's about winning that football game. You know, bottom line is winning that game. So, you know, it's hard to put an actual number on it, but I think you'll know and you'll see it. You know, when you're out there, you're gonna go, okay, They're improving here, they're improving there, and they're getting better in this area. That player took another step. And I think that's all part of that process.
Aside from Alshon, can you take us through some of the other free agent acquisitions and how you see them fitting with the team this year?
Well, you know, Chance. We signed Chance Warmack, and again, gives us depth, offensive line depth. And so, you know, he'll fit into that room and challenge those guys just like in any other position, you know. So looking forward to working with him. You know, we just signed, you know, Chris Long and Patrick Robinson, guys that can, veteran players that can come in and compete and just, again, provide depth, provide competition, provide their own leadership, you know, their own experiences coming from other teams. I think it's important too that, you know, as players, they're constantly looking at other teams and how this team does that, and I think it's good to have that diversity on your roster, guys that come, but at the same time, you know, how well do they fit into your scheme, into your system? So, you know, these guys are give us that quality depth that you're looking for.
And how about Torrey Smith in there too?
And Torrey, yeah, and Torrey, obviously, the, you know, outside of the two receivers, you know, those guys definitely, again, bring that expertise, bring that you know, that drive, that determination, you know, the want to a lot of the times, leadership that way, yeah.
With Isaac, you mentioned earlier, you know, he did a pretty good job, and then one job, the one game that he played at right tackle. Would he be a potential option there too, if, you know, if and when Lane does move over to the left side?
You know, Isaac obviously didn't really train at tackle for us, didn't practice there. He had some college experience at tackle. And for him to do what he did, you know, in that Baltimore game, on a week's, you know, preparation, just shows the athleticism, the desire, the want to. Those are the type of guys that you love to coach, you want on your team. So that's, you know, when you're evaluating players, it's not about necessarily what they do on the field, but it's the desire, it's the heart, they sacrifice themselves for the team. And he did that last year, and the versatility that he can really play all five positions, again, are guys that at the offensive line, you know, take the Jason Peters and the Lane Johnsons out of it. I mean, those guys are those are anchors on the outside. And we've talked about this before too, about having those swing guys that can play multiple positions on your offensive line. And he's one of those guys, you know. And it's nice to have those guys on your team. Well, again, you know, as we evaluate our roster and we look at free agency and just acquiring talent, you know, you know, he's a guy that we feel can add some depth, add a little competition, and you know, I don't know much about him as a person, obviously. I'll get a chance to meet him, you know, here shortly in a couple weeks, and just see how he fits and watch him work, you know, and fit with our guys, I know he's, just from watching him from afar, he's you know, he can be explosive, he's aggressive, he's got a little bit of that bulldog in him, and you know, those are the guys, again, you want to acquire and see how they fit into your system.
Getting back to the tackle position for a second, whenever Jason does retire and Lane still can move over to left tackle, do you view Vitae as a starter at that spot?
I'm gonna tell you, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to just say, pin me down today and say he's a starter. I think what he did last year, you talk about incremental improvement. That kid improved every single week, and I think there's a chance that he could be a dynamic starting tackle, you know, in his future, and. Again, it's a credit to Jeff Stoutland and Howie and the guys for finding him and looking at him. He was one of the guys, you know, watching last year on tape that you kind of stood out a little bit, and you know, you saw from the Washington game on how well he improved, and so, you know. If he continues to do that, then I think he could be a starter in this league.
You had mentioned your partnership with
Can we get it in? Man. All right, last one.
All right, you had mentioned your partnership with Howie and Doug. Something that you went back and
Joe?
Evaluated. With Joe and,
oh, yeah.
And Howie. Something that you went back and evaluated. What kind of evolution might we see there between you guys, especially now that you're in year two, have more of your sea legs?
Well, not much is going to change. Obviously, we're still gonna evaluate. We're still gonna do our due diligence on these players, and still, you know, I think the biggest thing is just communication. It's just, you know, me being able to walk down to his office or them walking down to my office and talking about players, and again, it comes down to, you know, being open and honest and transparent how we see players fitting into our offense or defense or special teams, and you know, that won't change. I think it'll just over time it'll continue to get better. Okay.
Thanks, guys. Schedule until April 17th.